Thank you for joining Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be, and I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Quick little science lesson for those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves back into its cells, reforms into the butterfly, but that's not all. It then still has to struggle to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to take it everywhere it's going to go. Not only do I talk with people who are busting through limits, but I talk with those who are helping them bust through limits. And today, that is what my guest does. Julia Denai is a fashion designer, and she has been an educator as well. And she's going to share with us her story of where she came from to where she is now and how she, the amazing things that she's doing. Before I bring her on, I just want to remind you to like or subscribe to the channel to make sure you never miss an episode of Hashtag No Limits. And also, if you're watching in the live, drop a hashtag live and where you're live from in the chat. And also, if you're watching from the replay, the same thing, only instead of hashtag live, put hashtag replay. All right, I think that's all the business stuff. So no more from me. Let's bring Julia in. Hello, Julia. Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So how are you doing today?
Doing well. Yeah, doing well.
All right. So we are in the depths of winter where yes. I am. We have snow on the ground and the temperatures in the single digits. How about where you are?
Yeah, there's snow on the ground. It's above single digits, but just barely. I think it's like 12 degrees. So a little bit nice. Better than you, but pretty similar.
All right. So as I said in the introduction, you are a fashion designer, but you were also an educator. So do you want to give us a little history of yourself and kind of what brought you to the point you are today?
Yeah, it was definitely kind of a crazy journey, but I was a fashion design major and then separately started volunteering with a local autism preschool near my college and really kind of fell in love with the students and special education. And they brought up a lot of clothing challenges to me since I was majoring in fashion design. And I ended up graduating during COVID in 2020, which led me to then just start working in special education while the fashion industry was shut down. And I really saw that this universal problem with clothing and sensory was present with all my students and children across the country and across the world. So I started a clothing brand to help them, kind of combining the two things I had studied, the two things I was interested in, to try and support kids' learning and inclusion.
Awesome. So when you say that they have their sensory issues, like what, can you explain a little bit more what that means, kind of what that looks like?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the biggest things with clothing is the seams and the tags that are in the clothing. So if you can imagine the tag in the back of your sweater, in the back of your shirt that's just rubbing at your neck all day, you may not notice it or it might be mildly annoying. For someone with sensory needs, that can actually be really painful and really completely intolerable and throw off their whole day, or they may not even be able to tolerate having that shirt on. So it really takes kind of these experiences and things you experience in life and just enhances them, even if it's something you're not aware of, such as the sound of fluorescent lights or the flickering of the lights, or sound being really overwhelming to the point where you can't hear really what else is happening. And it really causes that overstimulation. And someone who doesn't have that sensory processing might just say like, oh, it's a little loud in here, but not be bothered. So it really kind of takes these sensory experiences that we all have and really the perception of them and how they affect the body is just like different for these kids and adults.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. And so I think sometimes we don't give enough credit to those seams and those tags and those zippers and the buttons and even the material itself as to how it really can bother certain people of all ages, not just children. That just happens to be yours and my experience. But I so often will hear people when they present their data to me of, you know, this child and their unwanted behaviors, how it just came out of nowhere.
Yep.
And I wonder if a lot of that comes out of nowhere behavior is connected to the clothing. You said you saw a lot of your students. So what kind of behaviors were your students exhibiting that led you to realize something needed to change with their clothing, or it was their clothing that was upsetting to them?
Yeah, there were definitely some obvious things, like kids who were really pulling distinctly at the tag on their shirt and not listening to the direction while doing that, even though they're kids who typically do follow directions really well. So that was really obvious. But I think what you said, where it comes out of nowhere, suddenly this one thing triggered them, usually isn't the case. I think when I spent the time to really observe over a long time and see like why sometimes things triggered them and sometimes they didn't, was really kind of a buildup of sensory dysregulation as a whole, or being bothered by things as a whole that weren't being met. I think one of the best analogies is kind of like their cup gets filled. So even if you don't see them necessarily pulling at their clothes and making that really obvious, it was kind of like that already limited their tolerance. So then any other demand or inconvenience or anything else that was maybe a little overstimulating would just overflow their cup and cause a big problem, versus if they were cup was empty, like their clothes weren't bothering them and they were already regulated, you might see that they're not triggered by that. They were able to come to the assembly and not have to leave because they were overstimulated. So I think you're totally right that that's often missed, that it really is a culmination of everything. It's usually not one thing that really tipped the thing or is always the problem or always causes the behavior, or it came out of nowhere. It's usually a buildup from the day.
Yeah. And that's a great analogy, the overflowing cup, because I think about just myself sometimes, and on a day where, you know, it just seems like everything is going wrong. Yes. And, or it's, you know, for what I'm tired, or, you know, I'm not feeling well, or, you know, I've got other things happening. And then it's just that buildup. And all of a sudden, yeah, there's this one thing that on a normal, regular day, right, wouldn't bother me. And then I'm just like, oh, I can't take anymore.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think everyone can relate to it to some extent. And it's really realizing with these kids that they're experiencing the same things you are, even if they're not communicating that throughout the day.
Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately for those who are sensory sensitive, that is happening to them all the time. You know, like I said, my example is just once in a while, but some people are dealing with that every minute of every day. And I can't imagine what that's like. I mean, I do a presentation on understanding behaviors, and I have a couple of videos in there that people with autism have put out in the public, you know, where it's all the noises and how everything is amplified, but we don't do that with our clothing. You know, at least I haven't found one yet. Maybe there's one out there and I just haven't found it. But I mean, when you think about every time you move, you're breathing constantly. Yeah. So sometimes it's every time someone is breathing, they're just getting that little agitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really understated a lot of times when, you know, you don't personally experience it. You're not noticing your tag every single time you breathe. So you don't think of it, or you don't think it's a big deal, or you think it's something someone can just get over. And oftentimes it's not, because of what they're experiencing is really heightened.
Yeah. I mean, I can think of times when I have had tags that have bothered me. And so I've cut the tag off. Well, that kind of helped. But then there was the little nub from what was left over of the tag that occasionally, you know, it bothers me less, but would still occasionally bother me. And I think that's so, so smart what you said about people who don't experience it, don't understand it. And they just think, well, just get over it. You know, we all have issues that bother us. Well, as you said, there are populations of people that they cannot, their brain does not function in a way that just allows them to block it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think when it's so heightened, it's almost harder to block it out. You know, like if you think about anytime you've scratched or gotten a paper cut, like if you were getting a paper cut every single time you moved, like that'd be really hard to carry on with your work day. So if they're feeling a level of pain where it feels like they're being cut from the tag, you wouldn't expect them to get over it if you saw that it actually was cutting them. But that is kind of their perception of the sensory experience.
Yeah. And this is one of those things, like just specifically talking about the tags, that this is good for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so much of my own clothing now that it's, you know, the information that would have been on a tag is now whatever imprinted or stitched or whatever into the clothing itself. so I don't have to deal with tags. And there's so many things that when we adjust it for one population, it goes to a broader population and is helpful as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the biggest kind of collective mission of all adaptive founded brands and adaptive clothing right now in general. It's just letting everyone know that it really is for everyone and will benefit everyone ultimately. For example, we use magnetic closures on our jackets and hoodies so that people can independently dress and undress themselves, even if they struggle with those fine motor skills. But that can just be a really fun, easy way to get clothes on and off, even if you can do zippers. Like, it really can be for everyone. You don't have to struggle with certain things to benefit from it. And even to the extreme degree of the really adaptive features, such as our hoodie that helps block sound, and it has an eye mask that pulls down for a sensory break. It's great for taking naps on a plane because it has a built-in eye mask. So really all these innovations that benefit people who really struggle and they really need these innovations really are for everyone and have a place in everyone's life to make it better.
Yeah. And I think I love that because I mean, I'm thinking of like, it's been around for a while, but like, what do you call them? Tearaway pants.
Yes.
You know, people weren't actually tearing them. You know, they were right. Either Velcroed or magnetized or something, you know, so, I mean, again, that's something that's been around for quite some time. Something you had told me when we talked before the show was there was something that was kind of an accident in a pocket. And then you're like, oh, we're going to take that out. And then you were like, oh, wait, no, the research is showing we should keep it in and add it elsewhere in the pants.
Yeah. So our pants actually, we added a bunch of pockets in it so that kids could carry around kind of all those favorite fidgets, comfort items. Kids who collect rocks and love having them in their pockets wanted to make sure there was plenty of that space. So there's the front pockets that are stitched down so the pocket bag doesn't bunch up. And then I added kind of side, almost like cargo pockets. And they were done with the same magnetic closures that the hoodies were made with. So to open the pocket, it has a magnetic closure that opens and closes the pocket and keeps it secure. And what really ended up happening when I tested it with my students and kids were wearing them is it became this built-in fidget that while they were working, say, on a puzzle or they were thinking about an answer to a problem, they were able to kind of flip that pocket up and down and up and down as a fidget to help them kind of wherever they were. They didn't need to like find a separate fidget to carry around. It wasn't noisy. It was very subtle. And they absolutely loved it. So yeah, that was kind of an accidental design feature of the magnet just we had from the magnetic closures and ended up on the pocket. And it was kind of nicer than Velcro that you didn't have that irritating noise for those pockets. That's very typical. So it wasn't intended as a fidget originally, but became kind of this great resource for kids right there on their clothing.
Yeah, that is so cool. And so when the magnets connect, do they make a little click sound or are they quiet?
They're pretty quiet. I mean, definitely if you're the one right there doing it, you kind of hear it, but it's not a loud thing that would like echo through a room, but it just kind of has that nice, like soft click because there is fabric in between the two magnets. So they don't snap together as much as plain magnets with the fabric in between.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that would definitely, as you said, like Velcro, that texture is good for a lot of people to rub on it or, you know, to just feel on it for a little bit, but then that makes that very loud noise.
Yeah, but like through the room. Yeah. Yeah. So if you were doing that over and over, like it would be ultimately kind of disruptive or bother someone in the class or whatever it was. So the magnet is definitely a lot quieter than that, which is great.
Yeah. So I think now that we've talked a little bit about some of the clothing would be a good time to bring up your website. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, well, come on, pop up there. Why is it not popping up there? Here, I thought I had it. Oh, I know what I have to do. It's the wrong button. I'm not pressing. That was my problem.
There we go.
So there's the website. So let's talk a little bit, just kind of tell me where to move around in the website.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you scroll down, you can kind of get an overview of kind of our mission. And there's a little video, if you scroll a little further, that just kind of calls out some of our key features, that they're tagless, that there's none of those bulky seams inside that we were talking about. And these are things that a lot of people wouldn't notice in their clothes. So wanted to highlight that. And then you can kind of see what our other designs offer in terms of more adaptive features, like the sound reduction, the magnetic closures. They have built-in compression fashion in some of the designs. So all of these features are kind of called out. We also always want to offer additional resources to parents so you can get a free visual schedule and tips for helping kids get dressed and kind of gain that independence and some autonomy over the situation, which can really help when they get overstimulated. And then you'll be able to click around and see all of our sensory clothes that we do offer in both kid and adult sizes. And we offer the adult sizes now in our best-selling sound-reducing hoodie that we talked about, and those matching joggers that have that built-in magnetic pocket fidget. And yeah, if you click right on the hoodie, you can see all the colors and also just get more information on it and more description of kind of the sensory tools that are involved in all the clothing, and be able to see these are actually my old students that became models for me, which is really great. So they're actual autistic models that actually used these clothing and support right in the classroom, which is really great. And honestly, now so fun to look back on now that I have left teaching, which has been great.
Right. And I love this. Occupational therapists are the ones who deal oftentimes in school settings with the kids who have the sensory dysregulation. And so in order to have somebody that's an OT give a recommendation and be so pleased with what is happening is spot on, in my opinion. And so you give the sizes there. And the cost is, I think, incredibly reasonable. Because it is, a different kind of material and you've got all the extra features in there. I don't feel that $55, is out of the question. Cause I mean, you know, like the pockets, the thumb holes, what do you mean by thumb holes?
Yeah. So at the bottom of the sleeves of the hoodies, there are actually little slits that you can stick your thumb right through. And it provides that, kind of great, like compression feeling kind of on your hands. Mm-hmm. And originally we didn't have them. And honestly, a lot of the feedback from customers was that they really wanted thumb holes and they love it in their hoodies and it just makes them feel more safe and secure. And I think just it's fun. People like them. So we added them back in for this version so that they kind of had that extra little feature.
Got it. And that's kind of what I thought you meant, but I didn't want to assume. And so one of the questions that I have when I'm looking at this, and it goes to the next, update that you've got, is the eye mask part. So mm-hmm. in school settings, so many schools don't want students wearing their hoods in school.
Yep.
And so how do you help parents that you know this hoodie is going to benefit their child in the school setting be able to utilize it in the school setting?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a common concern and a common question. And I think the biggest thing that people don't always realize is that it's a piece of clothing, but it really is a sensory tool. So it can be added into an IEP, into a 504 plan as a sensory support that allows them to use it in school, even if it's technically a no hood school or they have certain policies. That can be something that can be individualized so that they know they have access to that support and that sensory tool. Because it really would be no different than wearing sound blocking headphones or using a separate fidget. So it really falls into that same category and can easily be added into those documents.
Awesome. That's the perfect answer. And I was hoping that was what you were going to say, because that's what I do as an education consultant, is help families get those kinds of resources built into the child's IEP or the 504. So, talk about this compression shirt, like why it's important and what yours specifically does.
Yeah, I think overall, for people who don't know, compression is a really great tool for calming and regulation and focus, which is really great in schools. How this is typically done is with a separate vest that you would put on top of your clothing and then adjust. And what I realized as a teacher that was really hard is that we had one of these compression vests for 3 autism classrooms that were all around each other at the end of the hall, but still we had one for 3 classrooms. And what was really hard is each classroom has 8 to 9 kids and people need it kind of right when they need it. When you realize that a child really needs to put it on, it's usually already at a tipping point where it's going to be really hard to wrestle a child into the vest by the time you find an extra set of hands for someone to run to the other classroom, see if another kid's not using it, find it, bring it back, and put it on them. So I really wanted to create something that was a lot more convenient for both the teachers and the child so that they actually get the support they need. And so what this shirt does, and if you click one more photo, you can kind of see the side of it. On either side, it opens just like a vest. So it's Velcro on either side. So it becomes completely open. And then you can adjust each side to the tightness level that the child needs in the moment. So if you leave it just barely connected, it'll be loose. So they don't have to have compression all day. But then when they need it, a teacher or a parent or a therapist can just lift up the top layer a bit and tighten both sides. And they instantly can kind of get that calming compression feeling without kind of that hassle of finding the vest, putting it on, remember to bring it with you, all of that. And one of the best things as kids get older is that it is a lot more subtle as well. So I had a lot of customers say as their kids got older and a lot of therapists that the compression really helps, but because of peer comments as they got older, they didn't want to wear it in school. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to be able to use fashion to kind of give them that confidence to be able to get the tools and support they need while still feeling included with their peers and not having extra attention drawn to them that they don't want drawn to them.
Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. So is it one piece or is the, I mean, can they wear any shirt they want to wear over the top of it? Or do you have shirts that go with it specifically?
Yeah, so they're actually attached at the neckline. So it's just one shirt you have to put on and it's the two layers. So it has the compression layer and then a looser basic t-shirt on top of it.
Okay. That's what I thought I was seeing, but then because the designs were a little different, I just wanted to make sure that.
Yeah. There's two different versions. The first time we did it, our first production run, we did kind of fun color blocking combinations. And then I really wanted to offer that plain navy this time for school uniforms and just a more basic option.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yes. Because that navy color, it seems like no matter what school uniform I have seen anywhere in the country, navy seems to always be one of the colors that they are allowed to wear.
Yeah, it's definitely the most common. I'd say the second most common is the light blue. So that's going to be the next one we add for the few people who aren't allowed navy. It's usually the light blue. So hopefully we'll cover all those school uniform bases.
Yeah, that's incredible, Julia. And I mean, this is such a need. And it's been something that I've had a few different people on hashtag No Limits, excuse me, talking about accessible clothing, not just for people that, they have a disability, but it's, you know, like people that are going through medical problems, you know, and being able to, like, I could see, even though it's a compression shirt, maybe your compression shirt being able to, like, if somebody has a port, you know, that it would be easier to access that port instead of them completely having to disrobe every time or, there's so many things. And what you're making is stylish. It's not, you know, like, oh yeah, this is really obviously, like you said, there's that stigma as they get older of like, I don't want to put this vest on. And so now they've got this option. It's underneath their shirt. They could just almost very easily do it themselves. I would think just kind of, you know, tighten it themselves or loosen it themselves with the compression. And I don't know if anybody listening is thinking of this or has this concern, but I know when I had to provide compression vests or devices for my students, you know, that was only like a certain amount of time. You know, it wasn't just like, you couldn't just tighten that, for example, your vest, just tighten it and then not pay attention to it the rest of the day. So how do you help the families who buy these understand how that works?
Yeah, I think our biggest thing is I always tell parents and anyone who asks, and it's on our website, is to always talk to your child's occupational therapist or their teacher, the occupational therapist at school or whatever therapy they're in that was recommending compression, to see what they recommend for your child. And also the biggest thing is to just look out for kind of their behavior surrounding it. If once they're calm and regulated and, you know, roughly it's been say 20 or 30 minutes and it seems like they're doing okay, you can loosen it back up and give them a break from it. just so that then it's ready to go when they need it again. That was definitely the most common recommended interval for my students by our occupational therapist, was kind of that 20 to 30 minutes. So that's definitely a good place to start. But it really is so unique to each child that you're going to want to watch their behavior and consult their therapist around it, because there really is no one strict answer. But from everything that I've read and I've seen, is it's not necessarily a bad thing or it's harmful for them to have the compression the whole time. It's just that your body kind of gets used to that level of compression. So it doesn't feel as tight anymore or as necessarily comforting. Like, they almost need a break so that when you tighten it again, they really feel that impact. But again, that really varies by child. So definitely talking to their individual team is going to really help you with that.
And with the compression vest, again, I know that it's, again, like, you know, the amount of pressure. So what if a family isn't seeing an occupational therapist, but they think this type of shirt would be helpful? Do they have to have a prescription, or can they just purchase it from your website without having that?
Yeah, no, you can definitely just purchase it. I think there are a lot of people who can really benefit from compression or really like tight hugs or weighted blankets, that kind of feel, who don't have a diagnosis or don't have a therapist. I think if your child does, it's always great to consult them. But really, it's something that isn't going to be harmful. It's not a medical device. There's really not risks. And your child and their behavior will really let them know, let you know if they really like it, if they're benefiting from it, if they don't like it. Kids really, even if they can't verbally tell you, all kids are very opinionated and will let you know. So it'll be pretty obvious if they don't like it. And so you can really take cues from your own child. And it's really something that parents can absolutely just try out and do at home. And with all our clothing, like, it's really here to be a support. So if you are thinking about trying it, definitely give it a go. And if they don't like it, I always accept returns, because every child is unique and likes and dislikes different things. So I never want that to be a concern or a barrier for people who want to try these things out at home.
Well, that's awesome to know that you accept returns. And do you accept, as I said, I don't feel that anything was unrealistically priced. However, you know, a lot of families that have children that have the kinds of needs that require this clothing have a lot of expenses. And so, you know, sometimes something like this, while it shouldn't be looked at as a extra, it might be considered as an extra. And so have you had any families, or are you set up to work with insurance companies or grants or some other way besides the family privately paying you for these items?
Yeah, we haven't been able to get set up directly with insurance yet, but we definitely work with different grants, or I'll even recommend people look at resources in their area, because sometimes different resource centers will help provide funding with grants they get to families to buy these things. So we'll actually get purchases directly from schools or from resource centers or from social workers that are able to place those orders on behalf of families. So it's definitely something that I try to work with families on as best as possible, because I know a lot of these families have extra expenses. And in making these clothing, that was a big consideration, was trying to keep the cost as low as possible while doing ethical manufacturing and making sure everyone in that supply chain is paid, but being very aware of costs. So even having business kind of consultants and mentors even recommend, based on margins, that we have a lot higher prices than we do. I'm really doing it to make it as accessible as possible. So I hope that the pricing is as limited as a barrier as it can be, but definitely able to work with anyone individually too. My email's right on the screen. The chat box on our website is always there. My email's also on our website. So people can really reach out, and I'm always happy to work with them individually to find a solution for that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I do just want to, for anyone who is just listening and not watching the video, it is julia.deny, but deny is spelled D-E-N-E-Y at shop sensational you. But I'm going to spell sensational because it's not the way you typically think of sensational. It's S-E-N-S-E-A-T-I-O-N-A-L. So shopsensationalu.com. I imagine if they typed in your first and last name, Julia Deny, that they would be able to find this website. I'm sure it would pop up fairly quickly. And so, yeah, be sure to reach out. And you mentioned that sometimes you sell to schools or to therapy offices. Do you offer like bulk discounts at all, or is it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. We do bulk discounts. Especially it's great for international orders. I'd say a lot of people want to do one shipment together to save on shipping, and these therapy centers and schools. I'm always happy to work with, honestly, individually to work on a bulk discount that really meets that center or school's needs. So definitely always reach out the same way, either right on our website or directly to my email. And yeah, I'm always happy to provide a therapy or bulk order discount.
Yeah. And for some reason, let me see, I didn't have, so it's shopsensationalyou.com is the website, right?
Yep. And for anyone listening, also sensoryclothes.com will bring you to the same website, which makes it easier for people listening to remember.
Great. And then you're also on social media, and it, even when I tried it this way, it didn't show up very well. So it's, you're on Instagram, .com/sensational. So it's, think of the word sense, S-E-N-S-E, ational, A-T-I-O-N-A-L, underscore you. Same thing on Facebook, Shop Sensational You. And then is TikTok working?
Yeah, TikTok's apparently back. So we'll see how long it lasts for, but while we're there, while it's up, we'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, I know we're kind of in a kind of weird world right now as far as TikTok is concerned. So there are plenty of places that people can find you and reach out to you. And I mean, this, I can just see this being so incredibly helpful. And kudos to you for recognizing the need and doing something about it and having the knowledge. I mean, I've seen needs before and I'm like, but I don't know how to help. And you had, I mean, this is brilliant. To come up with all of these things. So you talked about some different colors of your items that are coming out. Do you have other items in the works that you can share with us?
Yes. I think I, as a fashion design major as my main background, I always have designs in the back of my mind that I would love to create. So I think it's just going to be a slow process of actually growing the brand to a point where it makes sense to develop new product. But there's so many different sensory needs that can be met that I'm really excited to be able to design into those when I can. I think the next biggest one that people talk about is chewing and chewing on clothing, but not wanting to keep their chewies on them. So really finding a solution for that is going to be kind of the top next priority of new product. But overall, I'm really going to keep expanding kind of those color options and fabric options across our different bestsellers, because I think that's something that's so unique per person and per child, is kind of that feel of fabric and then also color preference. So those are definitely the areas we're going to keep expanding in. And as always, like, I do make all these decisions really based on customer feedback. So there's a form on our website, but then also any emails or chats or comments on social media, I always save and kind of go with the next biggest thing people are asking for. So in this case, it was the hoodies in navy and people wanted thumb holes. So that's what I did next. So definitely want to hear consumers' voices and help me make those decisions. Cause as I said, with a design background, like, I could come up with anything, but I really want to do it based on what you guys as the families and the consumers are, like, actually really wanting.
Yeah. I just, as you were talking about the chewies, I just imagined, you know, like a shirt, like I have today, a quarter zip, and just like this part of it having like a chewy kind of built in right there. Cause that always seems to be when I had students, they would always just like the corner.
Yeah. Right at the collar. It's definitely something that it's just one of those where it's almost hard to develop to make sure that it's something that can wash well, it wears well, it won't wear off on the fabric and they swallow something. So I think that's been the hardest problem with that one, is just figuring that out, how to keep it clean and safe. But it'll definitely come eventually, because I know it is kind of the top thing that people are concerned about, and chewing on the neckline stretches out the shirt. So if there's some way to fix that. So there's kind of so much in the chewing that we definitely want that to be our next product. And it'll just be a whole developmental process. But continuing to hear that from parents is going to be great, and kind of their experience with their kids and chewing on clothing and all that will be super helpful in that process.
Yeah. And so I think I saw, because you do have a few things for adult sizes. Yes. On the website, do you have, well, go back. It's not going back. Okay. There we go. So you do have the adult sound reducing hoodie. Do you have other things in adult size? Oh yeah, there's the adult sensory friendly joggers. I'm talking as if I'm sharing the website, and I'm not sharing with anybody. So I need to come back.
No worries. Yes, yeah, we have our adult hoodie and newly adult joggers, which are currently on pre-order as they get finished up at the factory. And so you can kind of have a whole matching sensory sweatsuit outfit in adult sizes. The next one we'd want to expand is that compression shirt, so that adults can really have all the same things in the same sizes, and kids who grow out of our kid sizes can continue to have those supports. And as we move forward and develop new product, I definitely want to be able to offer them in kid and adult sizes permanently going forward, because I think that is so important.
All right. So I didn't see this before. What's this squishable scrunchie?
Yeah, we actually just sold out of those, but it was with kind of a collaboration with another small brand that was a parent of a kid with sensory needs and was really benefiting from fidgets kind of through that COVID time. And mm-hmm. It was a scrunchie that the foam on the inside kind of compresses and then slowly expands out, which makes a really great fidget and sensory comfort tool. And I kind of fell into them because I bought one while I was teaching. And then my students just loved it because they were really pulling at all my scrunchies, or if we were sitting at circle and I was there supporting them, they'd be playing with my hair bands and breaking them. And I kind of discovered these as kind of the perfect solution. I'd keep on my wrist so they could play with something that actually wouldn't break and would actually satisfy what they were trying to do, and absolutely loved them. So decided to start offering a limited quantity on our website to see what people thought. And they ended up doing really well. So I'm definitely going to have to work with that company, see how they're doing, and restock as soon as we can.
Yeah. And I saw that you have gift cards. And so if anybody is watching or listening and you know of a family that could benefit from these items, or even if you don't, but you want to be helpful to a family or an individual, can they just purchase gift cards and just say, give these to, or help, you know, use this to offset the cost for somebody else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If anyone wants to purchase a gift card and have that be donated back, I can send that gift card directly to resource centers we work with, nonprofits we work with getting families resources and supports. So that gift card will definitely not go to waste and is actually a really great way to help support those families and offset the cost, as you said. So yeah, absolutely. That would be incredibly helpful. And I'd love to do that.
Awesome. And so, you know, when I'm thinking about these this closing, you know, I'm thinking about how it's helping kids in classrooms, but how is it helping anybody be included? And how is your company helping everybody be included as much as possible?
Yeah, I think being sensory regulated is definitely one of the greatest ways to promote inclusion, because really what I've seen is families really struggle to leave the house or go to certain events because of the dysregulation that's caused. So being able to have these tools that they know are on them and able to work and able to help them has really been able to allow people to leave and explore new environments a lot more comfortably and a lot more securely, with a lot more confidence. So that's been really cool to hear from families that, you know, they were able to go to a restaurant as a family, or the kids were able to come grocery shopping, or they were able to attend a sporting event because they knew that the hoodie could help block out some of that noise and help them stay calm and a part of that experience and not have to leave early. So all of that is honestly the whole point and the whole mission for me is to help increase that inclusion and just confidence in being themselves and being able to be out in the community. So I think the sensory component really has all these benefits outside of just that school environment, like we talked about. And it's always so cool hearing those stories from consumers and to hear where they were the most helpful.
Yeah. So you've only been in business a few years because you said you graduated during the pandemic. When did you actually, because then you went into teaching. So when did you actually start your clothing business?
Yeah. So it actually launched April of 2022. And then I continued to teach for about a year and a half after that. So it really wasn't until I left teaching that I really started growing the company and really focusing on it. Because as you know, when you're teaching, it's kind of impossible to do anything else. You can barely check your email throughout the day, let alone try to run a business. So it was kind of a slow start, but something I just wanted to put out there for anyone who found us and anyone that could use it. And now that I was able to leave teaching to really focus on it, really see that kind of expansion as a company. So still very new in that regard.
Yeah. And I imagine, like, you know, if I'm still doing hashtag no limits in 5 years, which I hope I am, that, you know, you will be so incredibly busy that trying to get time with you to come back and give us an update, that you just won't even have time because you'll just be so swamped. But by that point, maybe you'll also have a myriad of employees helping run everything.
Yes, and that'd be amazing.
Because this absolutely is such a needed part, a needed accommodation, I guess, it would be the right word for so many people. And, you know, I think about, I mentioned earlier that, you know, whenever I do the understanding behaviors or I call it shattering limits now, is I run those videos. And while I run those videos, and they're the very loud, overwhelming videos, I'm also, and I'm giving a secret away, so I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but because this is kind of a trick that I do, is I go around and I teach while the people are watching this video. And not only are they watching the video, but they are not supposed to blink. So they're just supposed to stare. And it's like a 2 minute and 45 second video. So it's not a super long time to stare. And then when the video is over, then I ask them questions about what I taught them while they were watching that video and trying to manage their blinking.
Oh.
No one can answer my questions.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. You say, oh yeah. So tell the audience why you went, well, oh yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're so focused on something else, and people might experience this on a lower scale. If you're talking to someone on the phone while trying to clean your house and you get really focused on trying to find something that's lost, it's almost like your brain starts thinking about one thing and they're probably watching that video actively saying or thinking in their head, like, don't blink, don't blink. Oh my gosh, this is so hard. How much time is left? That you can't process the other auditory information that's trying to be taught to you. I think our brains can get so fixated and overwhelmed with one thing that it's so hard to take in that other direction or other information and have it actually stick, even though they can physically hear it. It's almost the processing of it sticking in the brain that can't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a little bit like, as I am getting older, I am finding myself doing this as I do travel a lot for my work, and I have, you know, different addresses that I have to find all the time. And if I'm jamming out to my music and all of a sudden I'm starting to have to, like, okay, you know, I'm getting close to the number, but, you know, or I'm getting close to a turn, I will turn the music down.
Oh yeah.
Because then my brain isn't having to focus and, you know, block that out while I'm looking, it's a distraction that's gone away. And it's very, it's very interesting, and it's very eye-opening to educators when I have done that. Like, again, you know, we don't realize sometimes as educators that our students are sitting there and they're battling, whether it's clothing or, like you mentioned before, the fluorescent lights making noise or the air conditioner or, you know, whatever it is, but especially if it's their clothing and they cannot get away from it, that's just always on their mind. And it's just always, like, you know, just right there, just sort of needling them and preventing them from being able to hear directions. Or I shouldn't say hear them. They can hear them, process the direction.
Process and execute on it. And I think your example is so perfect. I think so many people have probably seen that meme, or I think that was going around where everyone's like, I didn't get it as a kid, but now I do. When your parents are like turning down the music because they're like, I have to be able to see. And you're like, what does the music have to do with seeing? And I think it's so funny as a kid. You're like, Mom, what? But you don't realize how much attention driving takes, I think, as a kid. And you're like, well, music doesn't affect your eyesight. But it really is that your brain is just trying to process too many things. You need to turn off that auditory input so you can focus on what you're visually seeing. And I think that's such the perfect example, because I think anyone who drives can perfectly relate to that and see that that's maybe what their students are experiencing in the classroom, when you're like, I know you can hear me, but I told you to go line up at the door 5 times and they haven't moved. It's like, okay, so what else is going on in their brain?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so key that we understand the behaviors, to be able to understand, because a lot of times I feel that we discipline because we think they're intentionally not following our direction, or intentionally not doing, you know, what they know they're supposed to be doing. And it's not a discipline. It's a, if we would just take 2 seconds and maybe walk over and stand, you know, right in front of the student, or, you know, kneel down to be at eye level, or, you know, or do, you know, have some sort of a signal even. Like, okay, you know, when I stand here, or if I put my hand on your desk, or I touch, you know, whatever, that's the time to like do your best to focus everything else out and focus just on me and listen to what I'm saying. And I feel like we do a disservice to our students often because we don't realize all the extraneous things that can be going on for some of our students.
And absolutely. I think when things are kind of unfairly categorized or disciplined as behavior or a behavior issue, I think that causes so many problems, because the behavior is not actually going to be solved, because you're not actually addressing the issue. You're addressing kind of the result of the issue, which is not going to increase their learning. It's not going to increase any of the things you actually want it to. And I think that was the biggest thing that I saw kind of entering into the school system with kind of this background more in sensory than anything else, more than education, more than behavior, and entering into classrooms with teachers who do have a behavior background, do have an education background. And I was almost able to be that voice a little bit of like, I don't think he's not listening, or I don't think he's incapable of learning one step directions. I think it's that he's overstimulated and not even hearing a word you're saying right now. And being able to take that approach of, okay, but if we address the sensory, maybe we can see what happens or see his end result. And then you get a true idea of where they're at education wise, behavior wise. But I think that is honestly so common to see in the school system, is kind of that jump to a behavior problem, because so many people don't have that background to know that it's probably something else that can be solved relatively easily if taken the time to look into it and address the thing that's bothering them or causing dysregulation.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And so thinking of that, and then thinking of your clothing, have you had families who have purchased your items and then written back and said, oh my gosh, my child used to get in trouble, or my child, you know, used to be talked to all the time, or they used to always do whatever. And now that they wear this item, whichever item it is, they don't do that as often.
Yeah, those stories are so great, because it's so validating to like what I saw in the classroom and why these were created. I've had customers write in that all the teachers in this girl's classroom wrote back to the mom the first day she wore our hoodie, I believe, to school, and asked what it was and where she got it to recommend to other parents because it was so helpful to her. We've had one mom reach out that the teacher reported he was able to eat in the cafeteria with his friends for the first time rather than having to be separated, or ends up not eating his lunch because he's so distracted from the overstimulation. So all of those stories are honestly the thing that keeps me going. I think entrepreneurship and starting a business is so hard, but without kind of having this mission behind my business, I don't think I could do it without having the parents that share those direct impact stories. Because it really is so huge, and to know it's having such a big impact on people's daily lives and educational experience.
Yeah, absolutely. When I get stories from parents that, you know, I've gone in and I've helped them at an IEP meeting, I mean, that's just when they talk about, you know, oh my, I feel like I can understand my child's classroom now, or I understand my child's day, or I understand the IEP, or, you know, just having you there brought such peace to me. I mean, those, absolutely. Those huge. Are the ones that keep you going. And to have like a whole classroom of people say, I want a shirt like that, I want that hoodie, because that was so helpful. I mean, to instantly recognize that has got to be, I mean, I hope you not only use those for your, you know, your business, but that you keep those for yourself, because you are making huge differences in people's lives and enriching their lives so much. Because as you mentioned, when we're regulated, we can go and be social, and we can go out of the house, and we can take kids places, or if it's the adult going through that, you know, that they can wear it and they can, you know, participate in things that they hadn't been able to before. And it just, it's almost overwhelming to me to think how, to just the doors, the limits that are busted because of being able to have access to things that people desperately want and they weren't able to handle before. And now because of your clothing, they are able to live normally, or, you know, whatever that means, normal, but, you know, and to have friends and to go places and to be with family members and to, you know, just literally actually be comfortable in their own skin.
Right. No, it's definitely so overwhelming to think about, and getting that feedback and those reviews are something, and emails even specifically written out to me with full stories. Like, it hits me every time, because I think it's so easy to move through your daily life and you sort of have this mission, but I mean, those stories and that impact, like, it truly, truly hits me and overwhelms me too. It feels so surreal that I created something that can have that impact and is able to help people kind of realize their full potential and really be successful in any ways they want to be.
Yeah. Well, Julia, I so appreciate everything that you're doing, and I appreciate you being my guest today. I just want to give you one last opportunity before we wrap up here, that I think we have covered a lot, but I want to make sure that, you know, if there was something else that you wanted to say or offer or talk about, now is that opportunity to bring that up if we haven't already covered it.
Yeah, honestly, we covered so much, which was so great. And I hope everyone feels like they kind of got any questions answered, or kind of were able to realize some new things about their kids kind of in this call. But just want to reemphasize that I'm always there to reach out to, even if it's just specific questions about your kids' behavior or sensory needs and what products of ours might be the most helpful. And if it's none of ours, like, I always love recommending other products. I know the space and other founders and other businesses so well that I'm always more than happy to help connect you with resources to help you and your kids really thrive and really help with their regulation. I'm always happy to help learn how to communicate that to teachers if you feel like they're not understanding your kid or categorizing it as behavior, or connect you to people such as you for education, like IEP consulting. So definitely, I just want to be a resource for families, even if it's beyond our clothing. And I just wanted to make that really clear to everyone.
Awesome. Thank you so very much. I can see you being, you know, if you would have time, being a vendor at, you know, some special needs conferences or some educator conferences where, you know, they can purchase the products for their students at their schools, because what a great opportunity, you know, to help families with just a piece of clothing. As I said, I don't think the prices are unreasonable. I mean, my quarter zips that I just bought with my business logo on them were $50. So, you know, I don't think $50 or even $70, because there's extra stuff added into the ones that you have out there. I think that's very typical for a lot of businesses to sell things at that price, and the t-shirts being, what were they, $30, I think, and or $35. Something.
Yeah. And then the compression is 37. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, you got to think about the material that's in it and the piece that it's going to give the child or the adult, and then everybody around that person as well.
Right.
Yeah. You can't really put a price tag on that, actually.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, guys, make sure that, again, that you reach out to Julia. It's julia.deny, D-E-N-E-Y, at sensationalyou.com. And just look her up. You know, if you're listening to this on the podcast and you're like, I can't write it down because I'm driving, well, just look up Julia Deny, spell it as closely as possible. And you also said, what was the other website?
Yeah, it's sensoryclothes.com. So it brings you right to the same, it'll link to the same website, but it just makes it so much easier for anyone listening to podcasts, that sensoryclothes.com is a little easier to remember.
Yeah. And if you just type in Julia in sensory clothes, if you can't think of Deny or how to spell it, you know, it's probably gonna pop up as well.
I'll probably be there.
Remember, if it's not you that needs it, but you want to help somebody else, buy those gift cards. and, absolutely. You know, let them know that you're buying it just because you want to donate it. There are so many people that could use this, mm-hmm. and they probably don't know that it's available yet. Because yep. you're still a toddler in the business world. So.
Yes, exactly. Still learning to crawl a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks everybody who is watching and who has watched in the replay. If you have any questions for Julia, please let me know or just reach out to her through her website or her email address is up on the screen. And we will see you next time. Remember, keep busting through those limits. Don't let anybody put a limit on your potential. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.